Well, it was an awful lot easier when God took me up here last week. Believe me. I got up this morning with a song in my head, and if you guys are on that terrible place, Facebook, you'll know which song it was, and it's 10,000 Reasons. And I have no idea where this is going. I'm just believing that God is going to lead me. I have ideas. But, you know, not just those 10,000 reasons in that beautiful song about beautiful new days dawning. I was very, very privileged and blessed to be in AOG when a guy called Tim Delena gave a sermon on the journey before the answer. It meant probably one of the most important things to me. And this week has been a very difficult week, and I'm so grateful to Kevin for coming out this week. We've been trying to get together for weeks since I came out of hospital, and it just wasn't happening. And like I said to him in message, why am I surprised that it's not happening? It wasn't meant to happen until this week. As the majority of you know, 6 weeks ago, I went into hospital. It was probably about 2 weeks or 3 weeks before that I was diagnosed with cancer. And just weeks after the surgery, I got an all clear. Now, a year ago, last January, I knew one person in this place today, and that's my husband. And my husband actually left me on the 1st of January, and actually quite rightly so. I was a disgusting mess. I had nothing but the devil in me. And for some weird and wonderful reason, because I can't drive and I won't be able to drive for another year because of misdemeanors through alcohol, I phoned a lady sitting at the front here who I'd met about a year before that, and asked her if she could come up and pick up a car that was broken, as she duly did. Now, this lady had been given a word. She had somebody to save. And I was that person, I believe. My journey with God has been immense. You know, I shared at a Glow a couple of weeks ago. I used to believe in the universe. I used to put stuff up to the universe. Mother Nature was my God. What a neep. And I say that again. What a neep. Who created that? Who created this world that we have? I now know it's Jesus. I was at death's door. My own mother, who unfortunately can't be here today, or would have been, actually said she wouldn't have given me days then. And I was probably on suicide watch. I'm not really very sure. There's another lady here, a lady that I would have loved to have been here, but through her own ill health, has been a friend since school, and 50 years we've been friends. And I wish she had been here, but she's unable to come today because of her own ill health. But she's here with heart and spirit. And she came to God at Mint Law Church. And I must just say thank you so, so much to everyone who's come today. Not just for me, but for Sam, because that is immense. You said about recovery and rehabs. Without Grace Dawn and her team, I wouldn't be standing here today, and I know I left early, and I have to say that I left early, and I took the hard route. I certainly took the hard route, but so many things have never, ever left me. So many memories of these girls that are sitting here today that I shared my time with. I didn't really get to know Sam, but through church I've gotten to know her, and through Glenda I hear a lot. Ten weeks were spent working on the fruits of the Spirit. And it's something that has kept me sane and safe from the devil. To have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and for me, most importantly, self-control. has kept me on the road that I'm on. I am so grateful to God. I am so grateful to the people that God has put in my life for the life I have today. To have a year on come through everything that I've come through is beyond my wildest dreams and beliefs, and I'm just so grateful.
Come on, wave those honkies. Come on. Thank you, Yvonne. Very brave and very well put forward. What a life transformed. We're privileged to hear you here and to know you and to love you. Okay, Sam, Father Shea. Let's hear it for Sam as she comes up.
Hey, that's an absolutely tough act to follow. Thought you said you were no good at talking. I know some of you know me, so I just thought I would give you a wee bit of background on me as to who I am and where I come from and stuff. So my name's Samantha, and I was born in Paisley, but I moved up to the Isle of Skye when I was 11. Hang on, I'll just share this Sam with you first, sorry. It's a verse out of Psalm 34. It's 34:6, and it's, "In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles." And the Lord really does listen to every single prayer. I'm not going to say he answers them exactly how you want you to answer them, but he does answer them. So I would have came from like a Christian background. I was brought up with my mum, my nana, and my papa. And they would have been involved in the church and a lot of youth groups and stuff. But sadly, at the age 14, I tragically lost my mum to cancer. This was crazy. But to top that, 8 weeks later, I lost both my grandparents as well. This left me angry, lost, confused, and broken. And in my confusion, I blamed God, and I turned my back on him. I kept Jesus in the top room of my heart, and I called on him just whenever I felt I needed him, but I never ever listened to what he had to say. But he always helped me, that's the thing. In desperation, he always does help you. And I started searching for love and acceptance in all the wrong places. And at an all-time low, January last year, I was lost. I'd lost everything in my life. I'd landed up in prison. I was broken, and I was completely tormented inside. I just felt like I had absolutely no hope for the future, basically. And in my desperation, I did cry out to the Lord, and I says, "Lord, I know I've said it all before, but I really mean it this time, and I'll do anything to make this better." And he spoke to me in a dream that night, and he basically told me I was to go to Teen Challenge. So the next morning, I called the chaplain, and the chaplain came up to see me, and I was expecting her just to be trying to find out about Teen Challenge. But it turns out that the other chaplain had actually done Teen Challenge, and it was Paul Innes, Dolly otherwise, a.k.a. And I was just, like, totally blown away, like, this is not happening. God's really wanting me to go to Teen Challenge. So within 10 days of that, Ashley Runsey came out to see me, and I think she thought she was just coming to tell somebody about Teen Challenge, and she looked at me kind of scared when I was like, "No, I'm coming. And I want to come now." And her big, wide, sparkly eyes was like, "Okay." So I filled out the application form there and then, but I had a wee bit of work to do first. But I arrived at Benaiah in April last year, where I really met with Jesus. I'd known Jesus, but this just blew my mind. Like, I've encountered him again. And I just met with him in such an intimate way that it's completely blown my mind. And I soon realized that Jesus' love was the only love and acceptance that I ever needed. And the thing is, he's not only gave me a hope for the future, but he's gave me a family. He's given me umpteen mother figures, more than I could ever have wished for. And he's gave me all the fruits of the Spirit, like Yvonne says, peace, hope, joy. He's just basically made the impossible possible for me. And I just crave more of Jesus each and every single day. And I can't wait to see what he's got for my future. And the day I'm just publicly declaring my faith in Jesus Christ. how much I love him and how much I need him.
Oh, let's hear that again for Sam and Yvonne. Before we go any further, I think it's right just to take the two of them forward. We're going to pray for them. We're going to stand and pray for them. And then, even if you're not convinced of the gospel of Jesus quite yet, in 20 minutes, hopefully I'll convince you through the preaching of God's word. But I'm just going to ask Yvonne and Sam to come forward. Let's stand. I'm going to ask the leaders of the church forward as well. The leaders that's here, wives as well. Ashley Olson. Let's stretch forth our hands if you're able to do so. Jesus. Jesus, we first thank you that you conquered death, sin, the grave, and hell. And Jesus, I thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift of your salvation. I thank you for lives transformed. I thank you you're not a theory, but you are a reality, ever living, breathing, powerful presence, and you are the victorious one. And I thank you that Yvonne and Sam are evidence of your love and compassion, that you are alive and that you are active. And I thank you that you have rescued them for hell. You have rescued them for eternal torment, for temporary torment. And God, we thank you that the fruits of the Spirit are evident in their lives. And I pray as they go through the waters of baptism that they would realize that their destiny is only found in Jesus Christ. And you would strengthen them, you would empower them to live out your dreams for their lives, your plans for their lives. And we say to the enemy, go in Jesus' name, that this a new day is dawning upon their lives, a day of power, of grace and mercy and freedom in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that you will pay back all the moments, all the years that the locusts have eaten. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Amen. Please be seated. And Ashley Runcie will be Dean Sam's baptism as well. So mind your wordies, Ashley. She's been reciting them. And a great moment for her as well, I'm sure. Okay, turn in your Bibles, if you've got them, or some people use apps on their phones, to 1 Kings chapter 19. This will be a short word, but a very relevant word as well, 1 Kings 19. The title of the message is Kissing the Past Goodbye. Isn't it some people think? Some people think it's just a Christian religious thing that we do, and it's very ritualistic, and it's just a moment that Christians would do, and it's like a Christian's birthday party. It's really not. It's deeply spiritual. The Bible speaks about being buried with Christ, not just through salvation, not just through a confession of faith, buried through Christ through baptism. And so the baptismal tank that immerses in water is significant, that the old is gone. That this morning, Sam and Yvonne are saying, goodbye, old life. Hello, new life. That is what baptism is. It says we are raised. Amen. Yes, we've got some Africans bursting to come forth in this place. Let's do it. And resurrected we Christ through baptism. And so it's about new life. It's about, as I was sharing, looking out the window this morning, seeing the sun and its place, and we welcome the sunshine in the northeast. Every time we see the sun, it's a morning, a blessing, and we get a smile on. This is what baptism is. And this is what Yvonne and Sam has testified to. And we've got to champion the work of the staff and volunteers at Benaiah, Sunnybury, places like us that love people and want to see their lives transformed. And I'm sure if they had the microphone, they would say, but this hasn't happened because of our program. It's happened because of Jesus. And we see in 1 Kings 19, just a man that was going on in daily life until something happened that completely transformed his life. And he had an opportunity at that moment to remain in the sphere of what had gone before, his history, in the sphere of natural reason, or he was going to follow the anointing that came at a coast. And this morning, the word is specifically for Yvonne and Sam, but for us as well. Let me just read it. Elisha was the man of God. He was a prophet to Israel, and he was going to be looking for his successor. It says, so Elijah went and found Elisha, which is causes a problem for preachers because they're very similar names, but we'll deal with that. Son of Shaphat, plowing a field. He was just doing what he'd always done historically. He's a good guy. There was no record of him being involved with the school of prophets, with the anointing before. He was just going on with life. And maybe you're at a place in your life, you're just doing life. And Elisha, there were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him, threw his cloak across his shoulder, and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye. Then I will go and be with you. He was at a moment, as we are, between his history and his destiny. We all have an opportunity to be fixated on our history or go and chase our destiny. And I want to encourage, just for a few moments, for Sam and for Yvonne, chase your destiny in Jesus. Elisha had a big doors, that opportunity, swing on smart hinges. And it's a decision that you will make in moments like this morning that will put you into your destiny, or you can just go back and live out what you have been historically living. I wonder if Elisha sensed on Elijah. It just says that Elijah came, put his cloak over him, touched him, and walked away. He didn't even preach a sermon. There must have just been something that Elisha sensed. Hold on, he's somebody worth following. And maybe you're in here this morning, you're a guest, and you've just came to witness what is going on. And I pray that during worship and coming together, you maybe have just sensed a touch of Jesus upon your shoulder. I want to tell you that that should generate within you a heart to respond to that touch or the reality of Jesus. And Elijah just felt one touch. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't in a moment. It wasn't just a touch. One touch for the king changes everything. Jesus just turned up and says to the disciples, a tax collector, come, follow me. And we have a decision to make as people on this earth. Will we follow Jesus? Will we be good church attenders or do programs? Jesus isn't a method. And he's not contained within a book either. We are Christ followers. Christians. For Yvonne and for Sam, they're making the decision and they've made the decision, I am following Jesus. That is what this morning is about. I am following Jesus, and everything else is an overflow. Church family, worship, speaking at a glow, prayer meetings, fruits of the Spirit, all that is an overflow of making the decision, I follow Jesus. But it comes at a cost. And nobody likes when you start preaching stuff like this. Because the next thing that Elisha did, we said this, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye. Like, I am not advocating that you disown your parents or you disown the people around about you, you disown your earthly family. I'm not advocating that. It says, honor your father, honor your mother. But it was the principle and the attitude or some things you've just got to say goodbye to. It's in your history, and you need to follow your destiny. But I will say this, that following Jesus, if nobody else or your other family follow Jesus, you're suddenly the weirdie, aren't you? You're suddenly the fruitcake Christian. But you've still to follow Jesus. And God has put you in that family to follow him and see your family come to Jesus. Not through disowning him, but loving them like Jesus would love them. But it shows us a principle that Christianity and following Jesus comes at a cost. the kiss goodbye. First, I need to go home. I have to follow you. I need to go home and kiss my our life goodbye. Yvonne and Sam, some of the biggest things you have to kiss goodbye to is your old self, the why it used to be. Never return to your old self. You need to kiss it goodbye. You go through the waters of baptism, you are saying the old Sam is gone, the old Yvonne is gone. You may be made a mess of it, but that's your history. That is now your destiny. You maybe did some awful things and somewhat you don't even want to share for the front. That's your history. That is now your destiny. You need to go and kiss goodbye and say that was for the old life and it has nothing to do with the new life, the resurrected life, the power of Jesus' life, the life of love and compassion and grace. The things that drag you back. You maybe need to kiss goodbye to other all attitudes. And maybe I'm not just speaking to Yvonne and Sam. Maybe there's some people in here. You maybe need to just distance yourself for the past. That's history. And maybe it was your own fault or maybe somebody did it to you. It's history. It's under the blood of Jesus. And it's nothing to do with your destiny. And then he didn't only say yes. He says, Elijah says, go on back, but think about what I've done to you. I just touched you. So Elisha returned to his oxen, slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople. They all ate it. Then he went with Elisha and be his servant and assistant. Pretty gruesome, huh? He went back for a kiss goodbye. He didn't only do that. He burned up his history. He burned up the oxen, he slaughtered them, he fed them. And out of the equipment, he made a bonfire. And then he followed Elijah to become his assistant. Very relevant. If you're really serious about following Jesus, and if you've got a history or mess, and you want to step into your destiny, there are some things you need to go and physically burn up and destroy. Or it'll drag you back. The Israelites were saved out of Egypt, but it says in their hearts, they returned to Egypt. They would have been better burning up Egypt before they left because they could never return. If we want to move on to the new life and discover our destiny and live like that, there are some things that are connected with our history that we need to burn up. It's maybe some. Allow me to really preach for just 5 minutes. Because it's been good up until now. You got the good news. Sometimes there's phone numbers on your phone that you just need to get rid of them. It's part of your history. Drug dealers, if you've still got them on your phone, why they still are, just get rid of them. All relationships, that person that hurt you, why they still are. You need to burn them up. They burn them up personally. Please didn't I say the preacher says to go and do that. But something significant and moving on that you would say, that just needs to go. There's some folk that you still follow on Facebook that are just attached to your history. And every time you look at it, you feel it, there's that historical connection. It's part of your history. You need to decide now whether they're part of your destiny. Because if they're not part of your destiny and will encourage you and love you and support you and want to see you do well, then I'll unfriend them. Just block them. Because if you unfriend them, they find out and then the offense happens and you've unfriended me. You just block them. They've made it really easy just to do stuff like that. Sometimes it's things like music. Again, you didn't think us looking at my granny, cover your lugs. But I used to be into rock and roll. And in fact, I was reminded this week that I actually went to an Iron Maiden concert. And I'd bleached my hair, and some of you will care and stuff like this. There is a vicious rumor that I was ginger, when I was growing up. Because Sarah used to work in White Link, and I used to work in White Link, and I bleached my hair because I thought I was cool, but I wasn't. And then it went ginger. But Sarah's always maintained that I was ginger growing up, which I wasn't, and I have nothing against gingers. In fact, some of my best friends are gingers. But I dyed my hair thinking I was a rocker. After Teen Challenge, I was in a weekend home. I walked into my old bedroom. It's peculiar, it still smelled of smoke. But I had this music collection. It's part of my history. And one of the most liberating things I did, now I'm not advocating, oh, if you listen to secular music, you're demon-possessed. This isn't what I'm saying. I'm saying some things are connected to your history, and they're not connected to your destiny. And if you get stuck in your history, you're going to maybe forfeit your destiny. And anything is worth destroying for your destiny in Jesus. And I packed all the old music and flags and everything. I went from Guns and Roses to Nuns and Moses. That was the moment. And I just went bang, bang. And there was a cost I had saved up, because I was into electric guitars. I'd saved up hundreds of pounds worth of stuff into a box, boom, into the bin. Liberation, freedom. I didn't think about it for a second or how much I'm going to miss it. I just knew that this was something that has to happen. And it's great that you clap, but it's absolutely worth it. That's not a sacrifice for Jesus. I tell you, if it's a sacrifice, dying on a cross. That's a sacrifice, and that's what he did for you. And so sometimes you need to go back and just burn up. Because when you burn it up, you're saying it's final. There's no going back to that. You shouldn't have had a plan B from following Jesus, should you? It's just plan A. I follow Jesus. Didn't I keep now? Oh, well, I'll keep this in this corner of my bedroom just in case this doesn't work out. That's Jesus stuff. I'll just keep this in case I go back to the world. Just get rid of it. Follow Jesus and realize he is your destiny. Then I get fixated on your history. We can do it with denominations as well. And, oh, I attend this church because my great-granny used to serve the tea. And that, please do not come here because your granny just served the tea. That's history. What is your destiny? What is your destiny in Jesus and loving him? What has God put on you that is relevant for the day, that you can help people for the day? We didn't worship, we honor the history, but we didn't revisit it and say, I'm only coming here because my great-granny was a deacon and was on the door. Because God's got so much more for you and your genealogy and your purpose for today than something that is connected simply to your history. I'm almost finished. It's easy to burn up the past when your heart is burning for Jesus Christ. And for Sam and for Yvonne, you maybe have got things you just need to get rid of. For the rest of us, something of that will maybe be relevant. But let your hearts burn for Jesus. And on a music collection, on a videos it's lying about, on a numbers, it becomes irrelevant in your life. The best advice I could give you, get full of the Holy Ghost, move on into your destiny. Your history is gone. You made mistakes, but move on. And it says this right at the very end. It says simply, Elisha became a servant to Elijah. Go on and serve the Lord. Serve the local church in whatever capacity that might be. This guy went for being his end boss in the field. They had a servant heart and said, I'm going to follow the anointing. He had a servant heart as Jesus would have. I'm just going to ask in a moment that we'd bow our heads and pray. Maybe you're in here this morning. We've spoken about Yvonne and Sam. Maybe you're in here this morning. You need to make a decision. Maybe like Elijah just touched Elisha's shoulder and put a cloak round about him, and he had to make the decision. Am I going to keep plowing the field, or am I going to follow the anointing into a bit of the unknown? And let's be honest, when we become a Christian, it's a bit of the unknown. We didn't care anything about what it is to follow Jesus, but we take it step by step. And maybe you're in here this morning and you have heard this evidence that Jesus is real. But I'm telling you, and I would plead with you, so this is the last thing that you hear while you are on earth, that you need to make a decision to follow Jesus. And you make a decision to follow Jesus. The only other decision is you reject Jesus. There's no in between. You either reject or follow. And it may come at a cost to you, but I'll tell you, it'll be absolutely worth it. So as every head is bowed, I'm going to ask if anybody is wanting to make a decision for Jesus in here this morning, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand and I will simply lead you in a prayer of faith. It's about becoming a Christian. If you want to make that prayer this morning, simply put up your hand. Mark the decision. If you have felt his touch upon your life this morning, do not let the devil discourage you or speak you to it. And you might say, well, I'd again, you only need to ken that Jesus is alive, that he died for you, and believe he is who he says he is. I'm going to leave us for 30 more seconds. If you want to respond, pop your hand. I'd see that hand. Pay it down. If there was anybody else, I see that hand in the middle. Thank you very much. Put your hand down. This is the most important question you will ever hear. Forget fit you're wanting for your supper. Forget fit job you're wanting. This is, do you want to follow Jesus? The real deal. The eternal question. A few more seconds. See that hand. Thank you. So I'm now going to ask, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to ask for them that have responded to repeat after me. But fit, we're all going to do, if you're comfortable with us, for the sake of them that's responded, we're all going to say this prayer. Just as we bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus. You have broke the chains of my history. And you have a wonderful destiny for me. I thank you, Jesus. You are who you say you are. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. I repent before you for my sins. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the blood that was shed for me. Cover me in your love. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to live a life that honors Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for new life and eternal salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's hear that again for the Lord. The worship team's going to come up. We will stand and worship as we take up our tithes and offerings. Thanks already for people that have given into the building fund. You might see some bits of scaffolding and that kicking around. It's because we're replacing the windows here, and some people have already given into that. So thank you for every penny that comes forth for you people. We've got to stand. We'll take up our tithes and offerings, and then the people that are involved in the baptisms go through this door and get changed and ready. And then if we could get Gilbert to take away the tables, take a heater out. And for the, especially the visitors, we'll try and get them right round the baptismal tank, and we'll try and get on the screen as well for them that are not able to do so. Okay, let's stand.